So good morning and welcome, everyone. Today is Tuesday, January 17th, 2017. It is 9 a.m. This is the general discussion for the Board of County Commissioners. The agenda has three items: the State of Jefferson resolution brought to the board by Council Hicks, PERS retirement alternative. That's my issue, and we'll address that when we have our finance director and HR manager up to speed with a proposed alternative to our PERS system. And then item number three is stepping up in the new year, new resources to reduce mental illness. This is a national campaign that's been brought to us by the National Association of Counties, and we can address that in another issue too. We're on a tight time frame here today. You have a meeting at 9:30. I have to be over in BAFTA training. I was told I have one issue I need to bring before the board. I was just invited. It was brought to my attention on Friday the 13th. Kate Brown, our governor, has invited me to the Western Governors Association Oregon workshop on federal forest management policy, and it's in Bend. It's next week. We have a land use hearing. I'm finding out whether or not I'm like the representative of commissioners and counties, or is it a blanket invitation that goes to everybody? If that's the case, then somebody else can go. If I'm the only delegate, because Mr. Doherty, the new forester, and I kind of connected pretty well at a couple of the meetings I've seen him at, it very well could just be me, as I was on the governor's task force for ONC lands. If that's the case, then I probably will attend, and then the board needs to decide whether or not we're going to go forward with the land use hearing on Monday that I'm going to have to miss. So that's just to give you a heads up on that. We'll be working on schedules. You want to introduce yourself?
I'm Bob Chard, native Oregonian, but promoting a new state. So it's not the geology. It's the political climate that we need to face. I've lived in the same house here for 43 years. My son back here is a fifth-generation Josephine County resident. And his son, who couldn't make it because he had got behind in work and was going to be here today, he would be a sixth-generation Josephine County resident. So we have roots here, but we're willing to promote a new state because of, let's go through it. First of all, if you'll see on your brochure on the front page, it talks about lower taxes, smaller government, and personal freedoms. And that's what we're going to talk about. Let's talk about personal freedoms first. I saw a bumper sticker on a car not too long ago, and it says, "Stop making laws on my rights." And I thought that was pretty good. So, and that's what's happened. I think it was actually a California vehicle at California's place. But Northern California is really the people who have started this sort of thing. I'm going to skip, because of time constraints, I'm going to skip the history of this thing, but this has been going on almost 80 years, the state of the Jefferson. I used to think it was kind of a whimsical thing, but I'll tell you, it's not. Not now. It's very serious. And so I'll explain why it's serious here. But Northern California is about 4 years ahead of where we are. Not that much. And you'll see that on the back page there, you'll see the dark green counties of California. Those 21 in the dark green have voted, they declared, to separate from the state of California and become the new state of Jefferson. They are deadly serious about this. Here's a reason. They make so many laws, and they have so many agencies down there. I guess they have 547 agencies, which is probably 200 more than even federal government has. So they're really regulated down there. For instance, one of the guys down there says he has a $3,000 tractor, and they require, a $7,000 emissions control device to be put on this $3,000 tractor. People in L.A., they'll vote for whatever it is to get rid of the smog down there, but, there's no smog in Northern California, so those regulations really don't apply to them. But did everybody get their government owner's manual?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's okay. I have a Oregon Constitution in my briefcase. I left it here, but I didn't. But the California has 1,300 pages of their Constitution. 1,300 pages. This little thing here is only really 17 pages long in a little book for the federal government. The federal government was intended to be pretty small, and it's just grown. You know why? It's our fault. Because we don't read this thing and understand the limits that were supposed to be on the federal government. The Oregon Constitution in the Blue Book is 52 pages long. So we want to break that down. For instance, the new state of Jefferson, we propose maybe instead of 547 agencies, more like 50. About a tenth the size. The legislative body, we propose to have only 90 days in session. Each legislator will only be able to bring up one bill per year. There will be a balanced budget like Oregon, not like California. There will be, for instance, no welfare department because service organizations and churches will take care of that sort of thing. So we do want to have a much smaller government. Another thing we will do, this is my idea, I proposed to the Constitution Committee and they accepted it, for, you know, the federal legislatures, senators and congressmen, I don't know, you know, I didn't research how much they make, but I know it's a lot. But, you know, those people, they just get elected and they'd have no tests on, you know, there's no competency, that's it. Competency test on the job that they're going to be doing. Their job is to protect and preserve this Constitution. So, we, you know, if you even have, you even to drive, you have to have a driver's test, okay? So why don't we have a test on them, a proficiency test? And what I proposed is that we have, like, something simple, 25 questions on the Constitution, and they have to pass at a 70% rate, or they can't take office. Then now we know that they believe in and they know what they're trying to preserve here.
Is it okay if I...
Sure.
When do you want to initiate that? Do you want to initiate that when somebody applies for candidacy?
Before they get started, they can't take office until they pass the test.
Right. So another, but I mean, if you have that competency test, when they apply to be, I'm going to run for the state Senate.
Yeah.
You go, then you need to take this test and pass it.
Yes.
That way, they don't spend a whole bunch of money on campaigning and signs and
they will
up the waters. You'll know that if the guy's
they
a candidate,
will know it.
He knows.
He knows.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I wrote a paper. We're going to talk about non-representation next. I wrote a paper, and in your package there is that little paper that I wrote.
State's right?
Yes, state's right. I wrote that after I took this constitutional studies class from John Chambers. You know, I always thought that the 10 amendments that are in here that we had, the first 10, were restrictions put on the citizens by the government. That's how much I knew about it. It's not. It's restrictions on the government when you finally learn about that sort of thing. But I learned a lot of things in that class because we go through the Constitution word by word. And so what I learned was that there was here's what Northern California says. There's such an imbalance of power that it takes 11 counties in Northern California to get one state senator. L.A. County alone has 11 senators, L.A. County alone. So the balance of power is all to the south, and whatever they vote for, they just don't get. So they want to change that. so that there's one senator per county. And here's how we will do that. I should explain, you know, but your paper explains it. So I'm not going to go through the problem that we have caused by the Supreme Court. Actually, the Supreme Court couldn't do what they did in 1964. They voted that, one man, one vote, and changed it from one senator per county to a population distribution. So just exactly like the House of Representatives, the same. And Article 4, Section 4, states, these United States guarantee every state in this union a Republican form of government. And what happened with the Supreme Court, they changed 30 states to a democracy. There's a big difference between a democracy and a constitutional republic. We, the United States, is a constitutional republic. These states used to be that because they had the same sort of system where they had one senator per county. Now it's not. It's apportioned by population. They couldn't do that. So, but, you know, people don't read the Constitution. They don't stand up to them and say, you can't do that. But we, as a new state, will. We are going to put it back. We're going to evoke states' rights and say that was wrong. We're going to have one senator per county so it's more fairly represented. Okay. Economic viability. There's a card in there from the American Lands Council. We're going to follow what the American Lands Council likes to say. If you look at that, the United States is split in half there. You see that the eastern United States basically has no more than about 4% federal lands control by the federal government in any one state. But if you look in the west, it's about 53% on average. Oregon is 53%. Josephine County is 71%. Nevada is the worst at 81%. You know, Senator Lisa Murkowski from Alaska, she did a video on this American Lands Council website. And she says, boy, we need help up here because of all the federal lands that are controlled here, the Indian lands, fish and wildlife lands. She says, we have only 0.25% in private hands. How can you operate that way? So we need to get that back. You know, the federal government claims they own those lands. If you look up there in the hills, what do you see? There's resources up there. We are resource rich and access poor. Because the longer time goes on, they clench their fist around those lands and keep us out of it. They're supposed to give us those lands when we ask for it. They're not doing it. Those are public lands for the states when they ask for them. Let me tell you about what Utah did. Utah, the legislature put up a bill. The governor signed it. And it was called the Public Lands Transfer Act. So that, and they sent it to the federal government to be effective on December 31st, 2014. That the federal government will release those lands and give them to the state of Utah. Less the national parks and, you know, congressionally designated areas such as wilderness areas. Less those. But you know what the federal government did? Absolutely nothing. Completely ignored them. And that's what's going on with the federal government. They're ignoring us. We had a contract with the ONC lands here. How many mills did we used to have? I don't know. A lot. Now we don't have any because we are locked out of those lands. They're not living up to the contract that we had with the ONC lands of 500 million board feet per year harvest. not doing that. So they say, okay, we'll do PILT, the payments in lieu of taxes. Well, they stopped doing that. Then they're going to do the Rural Schools Act. Well, they kind of quit doing that. So they're just not living up to the contract. So we have an opportunity as a new state to put in our Enabling Act for the equal footing doctrine. Now, the equal footing doctrine is where we have an opportunity to... Well, what that means is new states that come into being are guaranteed to be equal with every other state. Actually, it's with the original 13 states. We can be equal with them. We don't want to be less than them. We want to be equal with them. So we propose...
I just want to introduce Commissioner Moore.
Yeah. Hi, Lily.
We know each other.
Okay, good.
And you're in constitutional studies class together.
Keep you just so you're aware you're halfway done with your time. I'd really like to also hear what you want from us and how is that effective? A lot of these things, you're convincing the choir.
The choir, I know.
Because we deal with it every single day.
Sure you do.
So I'm not sure. I think we're probably all stocked up on the lack of representation and all of that, the federal state bureaucracy that we have to deal with intimately on behalf of 84,000 constituents on a daily basis. We hear the brunt of that. Yeah. We are the face of government here locally.
Right.
But how would the state of Jefferson improve that, not for Californians and not for the rest of the country, but for Josephine County citizens? That's the question.
Finish my sentence on that.
Yep.
Under the Enabling Act, or the Equal Footing Doctrine, we can take the federal lands that are in up here and put them in state hands. We can do that with the Equal Footing Doctrine.
Okay.
That's very important to have local control over those lands rather than have somebody from 3,000 miles away tell us what we're going to be doing with our lands up here. That's two of the most important things we can do as a new state. Very important stuff. So,
you mentioned that California is like 4 years ahead.
Yeah, they're way ahead.
So are you suggesting to piggyback onto their work that they've done and then just become all one state so that...
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Right.
And still be one of the largest states in the union.
Okay. And there's no... All the Greens have already...
They have
a declaration. There's no declaration so far in Oregon?
No, we're going to be the first.
Josephine will be the first, and you'll go county by county for declaration.
That's exactly right.
The process for that is to put it on the ballot and have it, or...?
No, the process is for at least two of you three to say, let's do a resolution, and you go for it, and we're green.
Okay.
And actually, you really don't have to do much other than that. Because now it's up to us to contact the rest of the counties and band together.
And say, Josephine's on board, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to throw this out there. I'm not being derogatory.
Sure.
But I have to ask a question. We don't have to do anything other than just form a resolution and then...
And
listen
you vote
to the phone
for it,
because there probably should be some pushback against it until everybody understands it, what the actual ramifications are, and I'm excited about it, to be quite honest.
Yeah, so well, I'm glad to hear that, because it can't help but do good for this county.
Well, I'd be interested to see what the hurdles are going forward, because what does California say? I guess you can call them and say, if you were to do this today, what pushback are you going to get from the federal government?
Probably taking the federal lands into state hands. That's probably the pushback you'll get.
Okay.
I would say one of the biggest ones, we might have some pushback from them on that.
Yeah.
But we just need to stick to our state's rights. We have the right to do that.
Yeah.
And do it. Okay. They might even push back on the state senate thing and say, well, the Supreme Court said you can't do it. Well, we just don't believe that they have the right to say what a state can do. The federal government can't impose upon states' rights.
They don't have the authority.
They don't. They think they do, but they don't.
And they try to teach that they do.
Yes, exactly.
And right. One of the pushbacks that I've received from others outside of the area is, well, those are our federal lands. Why would a state have a right to take access away from me when I live in Florida or I live in New York? So there's this mentality that it's not states' rights. It's
yeah. Do you know how many BLM lands are in the state of New York?
Not much. I've seen them out.
Zero. BLM lands. So we want to be equal to them, don't we? No BLM lands in our county.
Hard to lock
state.
Up Madison Avenue.
Yeah. Just make Manhattan the wilderness area.
They do it.
Any other questions? I really wasn't finished, but we might be on time.
Yeah, you've got 10
minutes. Oh, I do.
Yep.
Okay, let me go to... this is an article by Kevin Whittison in our local newspaper. Okay, what was the date? Shoot. Don't have the date on here. Anyway, he interviewed Greg Walden, and they were talking about the wildlife refuge over there. I highlighted a section here. It says, when it was first established in 1908, the Malheur National Bird Refuge had 81,000 acres. Since then, it has grown to 187,000 acres. Walden says much of that growth involved ranchers being forced off of their land by federal bureaucracy using questionable tactics. Our Western way of life is being threatened, he said. So Kevin says, I asked him point blank, does the federal government own too much land? See, Kevin even thinks they own it. After a long pause, he responded, I think the answer is probably yes. I think so. And down at the bottom, he says, too often individual bureaucrats don't follow the law, or bureaucracies don't care about how their actions affect people. The locals ought to have more say in these actions. I know you're going to have one question on when we become a new state. What happens to the state property that's in existence here now? Well, the lawyers have already looked at, not the state of Jefferson lawyers, but lawyers in California that wanted to do, they wanted to split up into six different states a while ago. That didn't.
California
did, yeah.
This group here wanted.
No, that was another thing.
Okay.
Years ago, they thought they should split up into six different states for the state of California. But that didn't happen. But anyway, the lawyers looked at that and said, well, we've paid our taxes here, you know. We paid for those facilities because we live here and we work here. And those, so they would just automatically transfer right into the new state. It's already been settled by the lawyers, they say. So that won't be a problem.
It will. They'll challenge it in court. But if they have standing, is where that will come into play as an argument.
Something we might have to do is go down to the ODOT and ask for the list of serial numbers so they don't trade off the new equipment and take it up north and bring the old equipment back down here. Any other questions?
Kind of need to come up here real quick. If you can come up here, because we've got a record, and we've got about 5 minutes left. So.
When?
Thanks. Who are you?
I'm Mark Johnson.
Hey, Mark.
How you doing?
Good to see you.
Good to see you. When this thing first started in Siskiyou County a few years back, they went territory, and they had a common vote for the territory and not even be a state, and that failed. So that group was set back, and then the economic group of the farmers and the agriculture was a strong part, and it built off of the articles in the Constitution method, and it went through. So when that was going on, and I lived in Northern California for years when I was logging and working for timber products, buying logs down there. Anyway, I'm wove in with those people. So as an Oregonian and a third-party observer, I got on the internet and on the telephone, and I got hold of the California Treasurer Wilson. And I emailed down there, and I'll be darned if the lady that ran, Julie, that ran the office, personal secretary for the treasurer of the state of California, talked to me. And I said, so when we, if we separate, what happens to the California debt and the CalPERS? I said, will we use what you have for stated liabilities on your balance sheet, or will we use what we consider the unfunded liabilities on the balance sheet? So when the citizens leave and divide off of California, the unfunded liabilities of CalPERS, which are billions, over $440 billion, are you going to divide that by citizen, by county, by economic unit on the number you're using now or the actual number? And it got really quiet. And this is the same situation with PERS in Oregon. If you leave now, you get the figure they're saying. If you wait, it just gets worse. And you don't lose, as time goes on, the unfunded liability for PERS is going to get worse, right? And the longer you wait, the higher the bill is going to get, right? So if we ever get to that. Anyway, the bottom point was it got real quiet in Sacramento. And they're going, well, we don't want you guys to leave because then we have to do real accounting. And Oregon's approaching, what, 44% raise they want for the premiums. I mean, we got the same problems because we're on the 8% thing. So the quicker you can get out and get under tort law with the federal lands, the quicker you can get out and divorce the debt and capture it in its under its own PERS and all the debt that the state has. If you unfund it, the quicker you can get that accounted, it's not going away, but you can keep it from growing. And the state of Jefferson will allow you to do that. And you're going to end up in court. State lands thing will end up in court. You'll all end up in court. However, you're in a block of like-minded people, and you're probably going to do okay. And how long is it going to take? I don't know.
Can they change venue on that to a block of not like-minded people?
I don't know. Probably.
I mean, that's what
Portland.
That's what I would caution that they could. Wow, we don't stand on that.
Well,
we're going to have to go to Portland or Salem to do that.
And they will, I'm sure. You're going to have as much resistance, and the same camps will always be fighting. And land use will always be a fight.
So do you have a draft of the resolution you're recommending us?
I give Wally a resolution. I just changed it from what California has. But Wally knows, you know, he'll know what to do. So basically, you guys' his job is easy. Just let Wally prepare
nothing
the resolution.
Nothing we do, Bob, is ever easy. With all due respect.
He's easier than ours, because we have to go throughout the rest of the state of Oregon.
No.
We all look at Wally.
And honestly, Bob, you and I have had this conversation about, you know, there's a proclamation, a resolution,
yeah.
An order,
yeah.
And an ordinance.
Yes.
A resolution, I know it might sound good or whatever, but it has no legal bearing,
yeah.
and all that.
I know that.
So it's just kind of a nice thing to put on there, and my question is Delaware County, which would seem like it should be receptive, didn't pass, and
it said
multiple
pass.
Measures.
So there are two new, they call them supervisors down there, instead
uh-huh.
of commissioners.
Yep.
There are two new supervisors down there. So now they say we think we can change their mind.
Is that why it's in pink?
It's in pink because they voted it down. They didn't go for it.
The board voted it down, or
the board voted it down.
It says it's a measure. So measures are not done by boards. People do measures.
Common
there may be some who vote in it.
So the concern would be that if the common vote voted it down,
that
regardless of the supervisors are, the people voted it down. So
that gives us our marching orders.
And don't forget that you've got Humboldt State University, you've had the collapse of the wood products industry, you've had the growth of the marijuana industry, you have the tribal situation. Humboldt is very liberal.
Prison, I thought.
Yeah,
they were worried about the state prison.
We actually have a lot of people that live in Josephine County that commute to that prison in
yeah.
Delmore County.
Yeah. Sure.
And it's one of those things that I have a friend that puts in 3 days a week, 40 hours in 3 days, and goes over twice a week to get that 40 hours in, and it's crazy. I mean, mm-hmm. the lack of sleep, the lack of energy,
and
trying to get it done.
Worst road in Oregon.
And in those snow storms we just had, was driving to work. Didn't get snow days. So it's one of those things that it's scary. But yeah, we actually have many people. We had a couple we had the police react to up at the subway station that were trying to bully somebody in their budget.
Logistically, I see Del Norton Humboldt as an almost must because it gives you your seaport. So it's
We are trying to recruit Coos County, a deepwater port. That may be the only deepwater port in the state of Jefferson. But if you look on the back side there of that map, versus the old map, you see that the original idea for the state of Jefferson for Oregon was just the southern counties. Well, it's kind of my idea, I guess, to include all of the non-represented counties in Oregon. It just wouldn't be fair to leave them with Salem. It just wouldn't be fair.
Well,
I couldn't do that.
I think it'd be interesting to see what their take is on that and make the offer.
Well, we're going to give them the opportunity.
Give
we're
them
going
the
to
opportunity.
Go up there and
say, hey, we're in. Then you're
it's up to great. Them. It's county by county.
Your position gets stronger.
Well, and we face this when we go to the Association of Oregon Counties Conference, where, you know, most of what you have on here, with the exception of the shoots, was kind of the same boat we are as far as rural wanting, you know, we're going to some of these classes saying, what are you going to speak to our language, our representation? This last time around, November's election, I thought Deschutes was blue.
They weren't blue.
Okay.
I have the map on that. It was 49%.
It was getting pretty close.
It was very close.
And so it's and as being one of the biggest growing
if
states,
they, if they don't want in, they don't want in.
You're right. I'm just saying it's one of those
but
things.
But Lynn County may want in. There's a couple other counties that were red that kind of were between Salem and Portland.
Right? You want to put a bow on it?
Yeah. The bow is, I think that you folks here, like I say, it's simple to me. It's just a resolution. And you have a... I guess an opportunity here to advance this thing, and if it happens, because it's a non-binding resolution, if it happens, you can crow about, you know, have voted for that, you know. So, and if it doesn't happen, you can just say, well, it was non-binding. So,
okay.
You don't have a lot of skin in it, and you don't.
No.
So I was talking to Sal Escobar on the email, and he said, I got my State of Jefferson shirt on, Mark. I was on the email last night with Richardson, Dennis Richardson, and he says, he was saying, yeah, we heard you guys. And then, Carl Wilson, he says, well, if he was on the floor of the House, he said, if you move to state capital, where would you move it to? And he says, well, you can move it wherever you want, but if you want to come to state Jefferson, Carl said he'd be happy to be the governor there. So the spirit is there. And I think that you guys could have a leverage. It gives you another little piece of leverage against the feds. It gives you another, it's like, listen, we're so sick of it, we're leaving. We're done. We're done with Salem and the gun stuff. We're done with Salem and all the stuff that's coming from Kate Brown and her group. Not that Kate's a bad person, but the direction is not for the rural people and the rural demographic. And you don't lose. I don't see how you lose on this, personally.
Well, I sure appreciate the time. I really wish we had more because there's a number of things I think this county's doing more so than just about anybody, maybe other than Linn County. Linn likes to litigate. They're litigating over almost everything these days. But Josephine County does too. We've got the ONC litigations that we're in partnership with the industry. You mentioned 500 million board feet. We're going after the sustained yield element, which is the other side, the true intent of the ONC Act.
Right.
We've got
500 million was the minimum.
Is the minimum. We've got the LC drafted by Carl Wilson's office to divest the state's lands back to the county as they should be. So all the yellow stuff, there's about 6,000 acres, and Carl, Representative Wilson, put that forward for this body, and I think that's, you know, there's a whole host of different things. Our coordination plan and the letters we send out every year, we're trying all the tools in the tool chest. This is like the one on steroids. Everything we're doing is, you know, kind of window dressing, but other than that legislative course concept, that's pretty good, but... We'll definitely chat about this. And
I look at this as a real serious shot across the bow.
It is.
Very serious.
Definitely.
A lot of talk, and you've seen this data deficit signed down by Wairika for years. And they've been you know, they've got a couple times, and everybody, yeah. But now it's pretty, I think it's really starting to put the chains on and get a little traction. And
you're writing history.
Yeah.
Yes, we are.
Josephine County, Oregon, said, Willie, you're writing U.S. history. This will go down in the books. It's a real thing.
Well, and we've heard Simon say several times that if you've seen one Oregon county, you've seen one Oregon county. They're all different. And then there's Josephine County. So.
We are different. We are different. Well, is there anything else real quick?
I just wanted to say, I meant no disrespect to your group this morning. I had been told you were coming, and I was looking forward to that. I had some family members lost this weekend, including a child, and it hit me this morning, so I just was having a rough morning. So I just want you to know, I meant no disrespect.
Yeah.
And you're available?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Mr. Chart is on our park advisory board, so we have his contact information as a point of contact for the group.
My phone number and email address is on.
Okay.
Right there. On this
the
side,
one,
right there.
The one thing I would say, okay. And don't take this as anything, we don't move real fast.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We will get there. Okay. And when we do, it'll be, you know, at 100%, very diligent, thought out, all that kind of stuff. But, we kind of have to step back and say, okay, where are we at on this?
Yeah.
And so stay tuned. We'll probably have you in again because today was just a half an hour. It's good to see this number of people. Don't feel like you have to come every time. Bob's a pretty good conduit to the information, and I think that's really where we're going to go for it. So,
okay.
We'll,
sounds great to me.
We'll be in touch, that's for sure.
Very good.
Well, thank you so much. Anything else? To the good of order? You've got your meeting happened 5 minutes ago. We're okay.
Is my meeting over there?
It is. It's over there in the city.
Can either of you cover the luncheon today?
Yeah, I was going to ask about that.
If you'd be willing, I'd like an answer.
Anybody, either one. You want to go? You've got an 11 o'clock with the Forester, so you could do a noon at Blondie's.
I could probably, yeah.
I canceled my 11 o'clock. I need a little.
Yeah, yeah. Take your time the whole week. So let the ladies know and they'll clear the schedule.
Yeah, let me just go ahead and do. I'll do the Blondie's thing because I don't think the thing will be too much.
No.
Will you be here?
You leave when you need
now?
To.
I'm leaving now to go across the pond.
He's going to be 10 minutes late, so.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, thanks for listening, guys.
Okay.
That's right.
Yeah, thank you very much.
It's that father and son that got
all right.
So at 9:37, the board's adjourned.